Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a blockbuster show for you here. And we're happy to bring this to you because we need to w raise awareness. This is not something that the media typically covers. We have a guest, Reverend John Stone, and we're not just going to be talking about a child custody case. We're going to be talking about something that repeats itself over and over, stealing kids, and I think from hearing the story, for potential profit. And this is greatly disturbing. And until all of us stand up and demand accountability from our officials when they know about the problem instead of ignoring the problem, this is going to continue. And it could be your kid or your grandkid. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. We've already had our first bank failure of the year. And the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says when you put your money or have your retirement associated with a bank, they own it. It's theirs. They only keep letting you take it out because they can loan it out. As soon as that bank gets in trouble, your money's in trouble. Now, why would you let that happen? Well, Noble Gold can help you. They can take your retirement and turn it into an IRA or 401k, back it with gold and silver in your name. No one can take it. It's an appreciating asset, as opposed to being backed by the dollar, which is a depreciating asset. Do I have your attention? Okay, good. Call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And please keep in mind, I'm not just an advertiser. I have been a customer of Noble Gold for almost 9 years. Well, Reverend Stone, we had a rather lengthy pre-air discussion. And I think I've got a pretty good idea. I've dealt with this. I've dealt with this at the federal level, where a former State Department employee had her kid kidnapped for political reasons. This seems to be more of kidnapping for profit. But we're talking about three of your grandchildren, and they were ages 3, 10, and 12 when they were taken. And you haven't had much luck. Unfortunately, sir, you are in Arizona. And we are one of the most corrupt states in the country, bar none. I don't care what venue you're talking about, from CPS to running elections to property tax evaluations for homes. It's all corrupt, every bit of it. In fact, I have people tell me around the country, Reverend Stone, stop exporting your criminality to our state. I hear this a lot from my fellow broadcasters. So let's start in here. You had a son named Timothy, and unfortunately, he passed under very mysterious circumstances in March of 2024, and he had three children. Do you want to pick up the story there?
Sure. I'll be real brief as far as prior to that. Timothy Paul Stone was our youngest son. He came down with type 1 diabetes when he was 2 years old. His mother worked with him, day and night. He was doing his own insulin shots by the time he was 6, 7 years old. He could do his own pokies. We called them pokies because that's where you take blood and you test it on the machine to see how your blood is. So he learned to do all of that. He kept his bloods in check. In fact, he was fantastic with it. He met his wife, Saraya LaRon McCree, in 2014 or 2015 in that area, at high school. They were going seniors together, Goldwater High School in Phoenix here. They got together. They had three children. They had some problems because Saraya was in and out of psych wards claiming for everything from depression to PTSD before PTSD actually came along and became a big issue. She self-diagnosed herself with that, but she was in and out of psych wards. They continued to have problems, and finally they split. Timothy had an apartment. She kept the house. They were getting a divorce, and the three kids were with Saraya. Saraya decided she wanted to hurt Timothy. He had over a $500,000 life insurance policy with MetLife. And then also there was the Social Security, his pension, and everything else. She worked out a plan with the babysitter, who was her best friend, and also with her sister. She decided to abandon the kids at Timothy's front door. She took the family car. There was two cars. She took the big one, the family car, and she fled to Las Vegas, Nevada. She was there, of course, with her sister and her first mom, her biological mom, who did not raise her. And they called Timothy and threatened him that if he didn't stop calling to tell her to come take home and take care of the kids and return the car, that they were going to mess him up, quote unquote, and they were going to kidnap the kids. 8 months passed by, almost 9 months. And on January 9th of 2024, Timothy was found to be deathly sick. The live-in babysitter at that time, which was, of course, the mother's best friend, had done something to his insulin that caused him his sugars to raise to over 800. He was rushed to the hospital at 2 a.m. while he was in the ICU. But after he was cleared, the babysitter came into the ICU ward screaming over and over again that he was going to die if they let him go. They released him. She stole the car keys from the hospital table that they were on, where he was at. She took the car. She, while he had been released, we didn't get a chance to get there in time, and she abducted the children in his car. She delivered them to the estranged mother and her sister, who were not to come near the kids for fear of danger and a life of abuse that the mother actually admitted to over and over again.
Was there a protective order against the mother at this
point?
There
was a protective order against the mother. Okay. There was a protective order against the sister that threatened him. There was a protective order the next day against the babysitter herself. So these orders were out there. But in Arizona, you don't need a court order of any kind for a kidnapping to take place. That's very important. The kidnapper, lead kidnapper, was not a non-relative. She was the live-in babysitter. And again, she had 8 warrants out against her. She had been arrested December 6th of 2023, and she was out on bond. You have to understand, she was out on bond when the kidnapping took place. So it wasn't a parent that kidnapped the kids. She conspired with the estranged mother, but it was the kidnapping was started by, of course, the live-in babysitter. Once it happened, 911 was called by Tim. Now understand this, Tim, his brain was still swollen from blood being over 800. He was still woozy. When they released him, he was not supposed to have stress. You know, Mr. Hodges, when he got home, his kids were kidnapped. You're talking about stress. The police came out, he called 911, reported him missing. When the police come out, they are supposed to follow Arizona Revised Statute 8-901. It's very important. It makes it mandatory that anytime you call the police and report your kids are missing, it doesn't matter whether a parent took them, it doesn't matter if God took them, they still have a procedure they have to follow. They have to find those kids. They didn't do it. They claimed that Timothy was incapacitated when the kids were kidnapped. That would drive them even further to go get the kids. The police didn't know at that time if Timothy or the babysitter could have killed the kids. So their duty was to find the children. They failed to do it.
Was this the Phoenix? Was this the Phoenix Police Department?
That was the El Mirage Police Department.
El Mirage, okay.
Now remember, in 2024, in June of 2024, the Department of Justice did a scathing report against Phoenix Police Department and the governor's office for civil rights violations, and that included questionable, murders or deaths that had happened at, of course, the hands of the police. But this was an in-depth story. It was just something that the rest of the police departments are guilty of too. If you got the main department doing it, plus it's in the governor's office. So when they decided they were going to tell Timothy that they were going to go ahead and, you know, find the kids, they didn't. Mr. Hodges, they did not do that. That's where we came into the picture, and we filed a criminal complaint with Governor Hobbs and with Attorney General Mays. Now, keep in mind that when you file a complaint, a certified official complaint, it's an official complaint. And when it goes to the governor has a duty. And if you send something to the governor, even email it to them, the governor will send you back a response saying that they're going to investigate it. So right off the bat, Timothy got excited. I got excited, and we thought they were going to follow through. But what they did is they contacted the police chief. He contacted me and Timothy with emails saying he's going to put his bureau, investigative, quote unquote, bureau back on the case, and they're going to do a thorough investigation. He straight out lied. They dummied up a police report, leaving out all the information we're talking about, and they allowed the kidnappers to get away with the kids, and the kids were kept at the CubeSmart at 135 East McKellips Road in Mesa, Arizona. They were locked down in the CubeSmart storage facility.
And how did you find that out? How did you find out they were at the CubeSmart?
We investigated. My son and I, we found out that she was managing a CubeSmart store out in Mesa. She got the job in Las Vegas. They gave her the raise, and then of course they made her a manager. And then she crossed state lines to come over here to specifically kidnap the kids, kill Tim, and get the life insurance policy and everything else again. She was outspoken about that, by the way. So was the babysitter. They wanted Timothy dead. They said he was going to die, and they knew they were going to get the life insurance and the other things that come with that. This is fact. This is not fiction. This is
fiction. Yeah, at what point did Tim pass? Was it before you discovered the CubeSmart?
No. We discovered this CubeSmart because what happened is Timothy actually made a couple calls to the management out there and talked to the kidnappers, and they cussed him out and told him he's not getting the kids back ever. And a police officer, Damian Ryden, was called to the CubeSmart. He came out on February 1st, and he called Tim up and told Tim he's not getting the kids and quit calling and threatening her unless she gives the kids back. This is all real. When he found out the protective order was there and that she had kidnapped the kids, we haven't heard from Damian Ryden since. He slammed the phone up after threatening Tim, and we can't find him. We have him in a lawsuit that we just filed, a couple months ago, but he hasn't been found yet. Now I know he's still out there working, but things happen that way. So, but the big point here is, while he was at ICU, they kidnapped this kid. Is there anything more depraved than that?
No.
Then they decided they weren't going to give him back. Now, Mr. Hodges, for 54 days, remember, from January 9th to March 2nd, 54 days, we searched and tried to get the kids back. We were blocked by the governor. We were blocked by the attorney general. We were blocked by judges. We were blocked by the police department. Okay? We were blocked by CubeSmart. We were blocked by MetLife, the insurance company. We tried everything. We told them about the crimes. They had everything. But we also came to the understanding, after Timothy had died, we came to the understanding that if the kids are brought in, then all of those people go to jail. Mr. Hodges, it's called felony murder. Here's how it works. There are certain crimes that if you commit a crime, and I'll give you an example. If you're holding up a bank and somebody trips over a garbage can, you don't have to shoot, and they die in that bank. You had nothing to do with it. You're still brought up on felony murder charges, first degree, okay? Because somebody died during the commission of the crime. Kidnapping is one of the only crimes, along with arson and a few others, that are continuing crimes. In other words, the kidnapping starts over every day. So if someone is trying to rescue a parent, trying to rescue the kids, they're a victim too, and they die during that, then it's called felony murder. We do understand that it's a straight out kidnapping, and we do understand that the governor, the attorney general, and the rest of the defendants that we name are up for felony murder. Now, yeah. Here's the point.
Before you go further, though, I'm going to backtrack a minute so we don't lose our audience here. Okay. I'm going to start with a real obvious question. I'm surprised MetLife would pay off under these circumstances.
Well, first of all, MetLife, they did. But remember, in MetLife's defense, and it's not a big defense, but they're still liable. But remember this. They were going by the police and their false order that they put out, their fraudulent order. That's what they were going by. Now, they have an investigative duty, and they failed miserably with that. Mr. Hodges, make no mistake about it. MetLife had all of the information, all of the evidence, hard evidence against her for some reason, they came to me and said they weren't giving the money to her. They, in fact, MetLife contacted me a little over a month after Timothy was deceased, and they had made a decision that it was going to the contingent beneficiaries. The contingent beneficiaries were myself and the children. They had made a decision then. Something happened from that point in April when they sent that letter out. It happened through August. Something happened. And I believe strongly, because the governor was involved, because of all the facts that and all the other individuals that were involved, that MetLife swung the other way to protect them. Now, MetLife can come across and they can say, no, we have IRSA. We went by the IRSA statute and all that. We didn't know from the police report, you know, that this happened. Well, they did know, Mr. Hodges, because I told them. But let's get beyond that, because whether they're held liable or not, you know, we don't know how that's going to come out. They're in court right now with us.
What do you mean they're in court? You mean you filed against MetLife?
Yes, we filed a wrongful death and civil rights lawsuit, and it's got 15 different defendants. The governor's in it, the attorney general. There's four judges. We got four judges. MetLife's in it, and CubeSmart's in it. And MetLife's trying to plead their way out of it like crazy right now, because they're saying they're not connected to the conspiracy to kill Jim, and that the kidnapping is ongoing. Make no mistake, the kidnapping and the crimes are ongoing. That's a fact.
Okay. The governor and the attorney general, first of all, state my bias here living in Arizona. They're as corrupt as the day is long. And in fact, the governor has been mentioned prominently in the media, not once, but several times, for pay for play, taking bribes to change policy for campaign donations. One was for $400,000. I'm saying this because I want the audience to understand we're not dealing with honorable people. Did they actively participate in any cover up, or were they just guilty of negligence?
Well, here's where we go. When you omit your job, and I'll put you in this, Mr. Hodges, you're the governor, and I contact you and tell you there's a kidnapping, and then I tell you that the three kids are kidnapped, and I tell you that your police chief in El Mirage is covering it up, his police reports are false, and I tell you that not only is he covering it up, but there's judges covering it up. You get a notice of this. Once you receive that, you become liable. Now, if you decide not to act, it's called omission.
Yeah.
If you omit your duty, it's not negligence when there's a death. When there's a right. felony murder, you're as guilty as anyone else of the felony murder. Believe me, Mr. Hodges, the Governor Hobbs and Attorney General Mays have sit in on several high-profile felony murder cases. They pushed to get those kids that were accused of committing crime, felony murder. They put kids in prison. They pushed that felony murder down people's throat. And yet here they are liable. Make no mistakes about it, Mr. Hodges. I'm not bringing this lightly because it's true. Do you think that they should escape felony murder charges because of who they are? The point being is the law is the law.
Yeah.
And the law says it's felony murder, and anyone that aided. And that means if you omit to do what you're supposed to do, you are aiding the kidnapping and the cover-up. They're both guilty, and they can't get away from that.
I agree with you in principle. I don't know the law well enough to comment, because you kind of asked me a rhetorical question. The one thing I would say with certainty, there's criminal negligence and it would probably fall under depraved indifference. If it rises to the level of felony murder, see, that's outside my knowledge of the law. But I'm going to take your word for that at this time. But regardless, even if it's the lesser of what I mentioned, criminal negligence, they were
right.
still legally obligated to act. You said something about the judges, and I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but when I investigated voter fraud in Arizona through experts, one of them was a 30-year federal organized crime investigator. I mean, this guy was the real deal. And what he uncovered here in Arizona is we have an interesting judicial system, and it's not every judge. It's certainly not every judge. I know some judges that are honorable, but there are judges that are not lawyers, and they were lawyers prior to being judges, and they weren't lawyers, and their credentials were fabricated by organized crime. And I'm not making this up. And I've seen the evidence. I've done shows on this. So you're probably dealing with judicial entities that would allow this to go on with impunity. that are probably part of this fraud. They were instrumental in covering up election fraud in 2020 and 2022. So you're
Right.
playing against a stacked deck, in my humble opinion.
Well, if I tell you what three judges in Superior Court did, I think this will blow your mind. What happened in September on September 12th of 2024, Melissa Judge Superior Court, Maricopa County Superior Court Judge Melissa Zabor rigged a proceeding with Superior Court Judge Jennifer Ryan Tuhill and with Judge Michael Herod to find the kidnap. They found the kidnap in Vegas, in Las Vegas. They knew where they were at. They had held a hearing in a court telephonically with her, and they decided that they were going to try to help her get out of the criminal acts. This is fact. We brought the motion. It was an emergency motion. The motion that we brought, Mr. Hodges, was filed with Judge Michael Herod. Judge Michael Herod, at the time, he was on vacation for a few days or a week, and the judge that took his place was Judge Ryan Tuhill. When she got the motion, it was eight separate emergency motions. One of them was to rescue the kids. One of them was to make a criminal referral. What she did is she dismissed it with, she dismissed the all eight motions, and she said there was no good cause that she found. We had no knowledge that another judge took that same motion and revived it. You can't do, first of all, a judge can't do that. The appellate court can do it, but your friendly judge can't do it. This other judge was Melissa Zabor. She took jurisdiction where she had absolutely none. She tried to come in on the family court side, claiming that it had to do with the kids. But by this time, the defendant was in Nevada, which meant that Nevada now had jurisdiction. So what those three judges did, they rigged the proceeding, literally rigged the proceeding, talked to her on the phone. They knew where she was at with the kids. And Mr. Hodges, they told her that she could keep the kids concealed and keep them away from us, okay, and stay in Nevada. And that if we wanted to see them or have a chance at seeing them again, we would have to pay money downstairs to the court clerk, $300 plus, and then possibly we could see the kids. That's a fact.
Why were they charging the $300 under what pretense?
They were trying to state that we needed to come into her, to Melissa Zabor's court officially. We were already in Judge Herod's court, but now they wanted us to pay more money to come into her court. She hijacked a motion that had been dismissed. Do you know how bad that is? That's what she did. This is all fact. We got everything documented. That's what she did. That's why they're in the lawsuit, all three of them. They rigged the proceedings. They actually told her on the phone that, look it, you can stay in Vegas, you can keep the kids and conceal them, and you don't have to let the grandparents see them again.
No.
Unless, I mean, these are facts. That's what we're dealing with here. Mr. Hodges, we filed the civil rights and the wrongful death lawsuit. Whether we win or not, my wife and I are pro-pers. We're up against the best defense that they can come up with. We're talking about MetLife attorneys. They got a house full of attorneys. We're talking about CubeSmart attorneys. These are huge corporations. We got their attorneys to fight. Then we got the governor. They've already brought in their attorney. Their attorney is Kate Weeks. Kate Weeks is an assistant attorney general, representing the governor, the three judges that I named, the governor, and the attorney general. So they got the top minds in El Mirage. They have another big attorney firm, Clyde and Company. These guys are huge. Do we have a chance in civil court? There's a good chance we don't, right? But we want our kids. We want justice. So we'll see how that pans out. In the meantime, remember, there's no statute of limitations against murder, and there's no statute against parental kidnapping, or child kidnapping. So in that sense, we will continue the pursuit for justice. But Mr. Hodges, how long can we go? I'm 70, close to 70. My wife said, how far? So I think they're trying to wait us out. because that's what I look at.
What about your other children? Are they involved, and could they become parental figures down the road in case you and your wife could not?
They will to a degree, but they when you get beat up in the court, the civil court, I would hate to see my kids have to go through that. They're going to continue to pursue the criminal part, but we have no power criminally because that's the executive branch. So, we're stuck in a situation where, hey, we have to take this to to our graves. And
Okay,
we
but I got a couple of reactions here too. One is, if CPS is not involved, they should be, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm a trained therapist. This is an area that I do know about legally. Grandparents have rights, and your rights have not been abrogated through a legal process. Therefore, you have the right to visitation, and you don't have to pay any damn judge $300. Okay, that was
Right.
illegal what that judge told you. And you could be filing, in my opinion, in whatever jurisdiction where the kids are presumably located with this person, and you could gain visitation rights. And
Absolutely.
that would be my first recommendation here, because grandparent rights are fairly universal from state to state. I know Arizona's law pretty well, but I can't imagine Nevada's much different.
Well,
So I would.
how do we find them? I mean, we've got skipping
Well,
the skip trace.
unfortunately, you may have to hire a private detective to track them down, and that's not hard to do. I had someone commit a fraud crime against me, and I had to go the private detective route, and they did a good job at concealing, but they still got caught. I think that that might be a way to go, but the courts are totally negligent in this.
Oh,
The
God.
governor and the AG, yeah, I could have told you before you told me the story they weren't going to do anything to help you. Here's where my concern goes. And you may not have an answer. This screams child trafficking and kids for sale. You have an incompetent parent, someone who didn't want to be a parent, someone who's not capable of being a parent, and they're loaded with three kids. They wanted the $500,000, and I think that's probably the motivation. And that's the life insurance policy. But I can't. I have a hard time believing that they're coming home and being a dutiful mom to these kids, especially when they're putting them up in places like a CubeSmart, which for my national audience, that's a storage facility. I don't know if it's national or what, but I know they're common in Arizona.
Right.
So that's my initial reaction to this. And I've dealt with a few cases like this. I dealt with a case like this out of Fort Collins. Another case, as I was saying, out of DC with a State Department official. And so I've walked down this road before, and I've had training in this area. I can't believe this judge did not say, we're going to have to bring in CPS, refer this to a family court, because this is a family court issue with in terms of custody. I
Well,
can't.
excuse me for sorry, Mr. Hodges. Mr. Hodges, the judge in the family court, Melissa Zabor, is the one that
Oh,
rigged the.
she's a family court judge?
Yes, and not only that, but she's one of the two judges that the legislation here is bringing up on articles of impeachment.
Yeah, that's appropriate for if she did this.
That's her.
Yeah,
She's
see,
done a
she
lot.
also is duty bound as a court official to given the circumstances, to make sure the kids are safe.
Right.
She has a legal obligation as a judge to make sure the kids are safe. She doesn't have to necessarily rule in your favor, but she had a primary duty to ensure the safety of these kids.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right, Mr. Hodges, and I want to mention this to you. During the telephonic hearing, the judge Zabor, towards the end of the hearing, she said, you guys are okay with this? And we said, well, you're going to do what you're going to do. She goes, oh, I thought you'd be complaining. I thought everything else. What judge tells you that? See, she knew she was violating our rights, the kids' rights. She knew she was actually helping, aiding the kidnappers. Now, here's the point. An absolute immunity for a judge does not cover what they did. They are not covered under any immunity. There is no judicial act when you decide you're going to aid kidnappers and you're going to aid someone who had a big part in the torturous death of their father. So right off the bat, they're going to come with they're immune. And we understand that. The governor is going to come with, I got absolute immunity. But that is not necessarily true. Now, do we have the lawyers here to be able to fight that? My wife and I are representing pro se. We don't have the money to hire attorneys, okay? So whether they can get around that in the civil end, they find ways to do that. But on the criminal side, they're still guilty, Mr. Hodges.
I think there's ways to go get a lawyer. This isn't something I'm familiar with in Arizona. I was familiar with it in Virginia, where I helped a State Department employee. But there are groups that are geared towards helping parent custody and assisting with legal defense.
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is huge. A lot of the attorneys, a lot of them, they're scared to death. I've had a couple of the high-profile attorneys tell me this. I won't mention their names because they don't want to be involved because of this. They're scared to death that they say they can't win even if they win because they'll be blacklisted. They're going against the governor, the attorney general, a police chief, mayor, MetLife. So they've come forward and said, bottom line, Rev, yeah, you have a very winnable case, but we're not going to take it. And a lot of other attorneys won't either because of the fear factor. So we're dealing with a situation. There's a big fear factor.
There are attorneys that are multi-state attorneys, and I'm just suggesting this as an avenue to look at. And what I mean by that is they may be operating, let's say, out of Nebraska, but they're licensed in Arizona. And it might cost you a little more if there's travel involved. But I'm saying there is a way around it. Also, too, you might be able to crowdfund to go get an attorney. But I
Right,
think
we
you're
can.
going to have to find, also, too, there's public interest law firms. I'll tell you a quick anecdote here. It was, gosh, how long ago now? 23 years ago, we fought an 8-year battle against John McCain and certain government officials that wanted to take our land from us over time and erode our property rights till we had nothing left and not pay us for our land, basically force us off for their own little project. We had four law firms in that 8 years that quit us, and it's very similar to what you're saying. They said that we won't go against John McCain because our partners one day may want to be a judge at some level, and that'll
Right.
kill their chances. And so we had to end up getting the Goldwater Institute, and I'm going to recommend you contact them, even though Clint Bullock is gone. He was the guy that took our case, and he's now an Arizona Supreme Court justice. And Clint Bullock looked at this case, and I had help from people in the Libertarian Party that convinced him this was really a bad deal. And as soon as we got him and we filed, they buckled. And today, myself and the 300 families at that time ended up prevailing because of that. So you
Wow.
might, public interest law firms, and they don't have to necessarily be in the state of Arizona. And if you're filing in federal district court, I don't think they have to be Arizona bar attorneys.
No, they don't.
And I think this is a federal official, and this is also an FBI, because we're now dealing with kidnapping crossing state lines.
Right. It's all there.
I think that, and then you might want to crowdfund this too. I don't know how friendly Give, Send, Go will be to something like this, but I
Right.
will tell you this, okay? There's a pervasive network of child trafficking in this state, and probably in every state, but particularly in Arizona, because of our proximity to the border. The cartel is involved. And I've been down this road. I know what I'm talking about here. This is not speculation. And the Mesa Police Department has been intimately involved in this. And I'm not saying every cop. And
Right.
you smart, you said that was a Mesa City operation. I thought right there, well, I'm not surprised you got the response you got. I don't know about El Mirage. They're a real small community, as you know, in the West Valley.
Right.
But I will tell you this. There are judges that know they can't cross certain lines if they want to move their career forward. And for some of them, it means not doing voter fraud and not doing these kinds of child custody that could involve the cartel and trafficking.
Right. Well, on the website my wife put together 2 years ago, and it's really informative. It's timothypaulstone.com.
Give that to me
Again,
again. I want to go investigate this.
it's timothypaulstone.com. When you go to the website, you're going to read the story, which is a really shocking story, but you're also going to go to the store part. You're going to see a 106-page criminal complaint that went to the president. It went to Pam Bondi to the FBI, Patel. It went to numerous officials. That 106-page report is in depth. It's got evidence through it. It's got everything. I'll tell you what, if you go through that and look at that, once you're done with that, you're going to know just how deep the governor and the rest of them are in it. It's loaded with laws and statutes, but it's easy to read. It's not like something that an attorney would do where it's the thous and the those, kind of like as a minister in the Bible, people always say, I can't understand in King James the these and the those. Well, this is different because my wife and I put it together. It's easy to understand. It's easy to follow. And once you go through the story and you read that, it's going to upset you. And I want to make it clear, this is not about my wife and I. This is not about anything like that. You know, we're not out to get anything from it. You know, as far as financial gain, it's none of that. You know, we have to stand before God just like everyone else. And if you can imagine me standing before God and God says, what about the three kids? You just decided that because the governor was involved and everyone else. So I don't want that coming down that way. The same thing with my wife. Our duty is, first of all, to God. And God tells us then that our duty is to the children. If you read Luke 17:2, it's really clear. Jesus said that if you harm a child, you deserve a millstone around your neck and cast into the sea. Now, you have to believe that if you know what a millstone is, it's a big cement round wheel they used to crush wheat and all kinds of things with. Then when Jesus said that, with a millstone around your neck and cast into the sea, Jesus didn't plan on you coming back up again. And that's if you harm a child. What they've done to these children, they don't even know if their dad's alive or dead. The two autistic children might think he abandoned them. They don't know. They're waiting for dad to come back. And this mother's been in and out of psych wards so often she's worn a path to those places. The police have records. So does a protective order when you read that report where she stood in front of them, got the kids together to show them she was committing suicide, and then she made attempts to kill herself. This is not once. This is not twice. She has a pattern of child abuse.
Yeah, I hear you.
They were born.
John, I'm going to make a couple suggestions here, okay? Number one, Vegas is pretty much synonymous with Clark County. And I would file a missing persons report with Clark County. I'd also do it with the FBI field office.
That is good. Thank you. I didn't even go that way. That's good. I got that.
I would suggest that you do that. And I would go with the county for a lot of different reasons. But I think that at the and I'm also going to talk to my friend Sheriff Mack, who trains sheriffs around the country in constitutional law. He's retired now. I'll see what he has to say about this. I'm going to write myself a note on this. The other thing is, too, is I would also go and I'd contact the field office in Vegas for the FBI.
Right.
I'd file a missing report there, and I'd file one here in the Phoenix area at their field office. Missing persons report. And then I would investigate what the grandparent clauses are for the laws, what the statutes are regarding you and your wife's visitation rights.
Because what's nice is in Nevada, we checked that out. Nevada's laws are similar to Arizona. So thank you for mentioning that because we do have grandparents' rights. So that's the next step. So for you mentioning that, now we can put that together with filing the missing persons report there. So that's good. We'll go that route also.
And you ought to look at Give, Send, Go and see if you can raise some money that way. Just say we're looking for missing children. I don't know what their policy is on that. I'll tell you one thing right now. When you mention the stuff we talked about here, you two will ban it. That's a flat fact. But there's other social media that I'm going to put this on, as well as our TV show, as well as this is going to go out on our podcast, I think probably Wednesday, and this being Saturday morning. We've got two ahead on this.
Remember this, Mr. Rogers, is that if you kidnap someone and you entice them, you have all kinds of enticements, and you know, and that's one thing I want to make clear here. The estranged mom, with all the money that she's getting, remember, she's getting the Social Security for all three kids and herself. She's getting his pension. Timothy was an engineer, a sales engineer, with a team under him at Cox Communication. He'd been there for 12 years. So she has got nothing but money right now. So she's allowed to go out and entice these children, okay, buy them everything, put them in a room with games, and never have to look at them. We've experienced this with this, with her, I mean, over and over again. So keep that in mind. So wherever they're at, you know, we're asking for your prayers and for your list, your
I
audience's
agree. The
prayers.
prayers need to be offered. All this
Right.
is, it might be bad parenting, but what you just described is not illegal. And the thing is,
And also,
here's what you have on your side, though. If you could track them down and attract the interest of the court, I don't see how you could not get a lawyer in Clark County. They don't give a crap about Arizona, I guarantee you, unless they're part of the network. And
okay.
you could, because of her history of being confined for mental illness, you can require a mental status exam to establish suitability as a parent.
Let me write that down. We'll get to that.
Yeah, so, and it's called a mental
What'd you say?
status exam.
Mental status?
My terms might be almost 30 years outdated because it's been a while since I've done therapy, but you can file for a mental status exam as a precursor to determining parent suitability. And she has a history that opens the door for that possibility. If she hadn't had a history of being confined and being treated for serious, by the way, do you know what she was treated for besides depression and suicide?
I think PTSD, but we don't know. She was
Okay.
in and out of
All
there
right.
so often. It was,
because what the court will look at on something like this is her condition prohibitive from being a parent? In other words, she can't take care of herself, so therefore she can't take care of the kids. You know, I can't guarantee the status of a mental status exam, but it can be imposed upon her. In fact, most states have a 72-hour hold where they can pick somebody up under a court order and establish legitimacy for parenting in that area. So that's something to look at. But I think your best avenue right now is to hope that these kids and she are still in Clark County and that you go that route with them, because Arizona will give you no cooperation here. And you've already discovered it. And I don't think any necessarily that the governor and AG are committing crimes in this case. They just don't want to be bothered with it because they probably know it's organized crime at some level. You see, people like this don't keep their kids, and this may be not something you want to hear, but if you asked me, I'd say there's a 50-50 chance she sold the kids. Now, she may have sold the kids and keep the benefits, if you know what I'm saying. And I've seen this to where I'm going to still get the Social Security payments for the kids and so forth.
Right.
But even though I don't have custody of the kids, it's Somalia fraud, you know, in Clark County. And
well, we're going to do that.
But I hope that, yeah, I think you've got to get super aggressive. Let me ask you two questions here. One will be, what have you done with the FBI? Because this is up their alley. And number two, what about the local media?
The local media stays away for various reasons. I don't know. There's because of the individuals that are involved on that other side. But also, my wife and I, for years, we were going after the government in Arizona for racketeering.
Yeah.
we have two books. When you go to the website, you're going to see two books. They're called Raping to Buy Justice. They have actual, they're loaded with crimes from 43 different judges in the area. You know, there's so much in there. So they see us as, you know, kind of like, you know, advocates for justice, but something that they don't want to come near. So that's the story. So, you know, we hate to have that influence, you know, how everybody thinks about you or what they're going to do. But Mr. Hodges, you know, you look back in your life, and there's things that have been done and done to you, and you just hope they don't come forward to be able to affect, you know, your grandkids and your kids. But we're in a world that, you know, it lives on things, you know, discourse. It lives on things like that. So, you know, those are things that we've had to battle against. But in this particular sense, this is about the kids and about the death of our son and the way things came down. The governor and the attorney general are very much in this. And the big thing I would say to you, Mr. Hodges, is this. Now that everybody knows that this is going on, why doesn't the governor or the attorney general now come forward and say, okay, now we see what happened. Let's go ahead and take care of this. It'd be real simple for the defendants to do that in our case. Why aren't they doing that?
Let me tell you a quick anecdote, and this will answer your question. I'm real familiar with the Kerry Lake campaign for Senate. And Jeff DeWitt, who was the head of the GOP here in Arizona, went to her, and Kerry was smart enough to record this. He's Republican head. She is a Republican. She's running against a lowlife. Ruben Gallego now sits in the Senate. I mean, he's absolute lowlife, provable, just bad, bad guy history, bad family history. And he offers her a bribe worth millions of dollars not to run. Now, he won't say who the bribe's from, but very powerful people from back east. And if I said who they were, I wouldn't be around very long. That's on the tape. Okay, and Kerry basically kicked him out. Now they replaced Jeff DeWitt as the head of the GOP, okay, with this woman named Swoboda. But here's the problem. He never stood trial for facilitation of a bribe. And Kerry tried to get the authorities involved in this. And the tape is public. I mean, you can go and punch it into the internet and say, want the bribery tape for Kerry Lake and Jeff DeWitt, and you can get it. But the bottom line is, it's all corrupt. There's a underlying criminal organized element in this state. It's like Liz Harris. She's on a commission. She was a state rep on a commission for voter integrity. It was both the Senate and the House in Arizona. And she tried to get two guests. They couldn't show up. She got a third. The guest was approved. The guest comes in and basically says, you got people in your state representatives here who are complicit with voter fraud. And we have the receipts, and they named other groups involved. Okay, that got her kicked out of the legislature. Here's the key: she runs for re-election in the special election run by the Maricopa County Commissioners. She gets 70% of the vote, and they won't seat her, and they picked her replacement. You see,
What?
there's an or yeah, this is what exactly what went down. I've had Liz on my show 3 times. Liz and I have done public appearances together. Really exposed voter fraud in Arizona. She went door to door in Maricopa County with her team, and she found over 300,000 faulty voter registrations.
Lord have mercy.
And I'm saying there's a central element in this state that is criminally controlled, and this is how you get fake lawyers to become fake judges to give rulings that are done. And we have one big criminal cabal here in Arizona.
Well, I'll tell you this, Mr. Hodges. Everything you're saying lines up with what I was told 30 years ago. 30 years ago, my wife and I had a sign company on Bell Road here in town. We also did advertising. We had 40 reps around the country. We represented Albertsons, Walmart, and others doing in-store advertising. One day I had met up with one of the top officials at that time in the state of Arizona. He's a multimillionaire. He sits as chairman of the board for the Boys and Girls Club, for other places as well. And we met at a bank down on Central, and we were out in the parking lot. And he looked at me and he said, Reverend Stone, I have some problems. You're starting to affect people, by claiming corruption with officials and others. And this is what he said to me. He looked me straight in the eye. And he said, Reverend Stone, if you want to get somewhere in this town, you need to understand this. As big as Phoenix is in the state of Arizona, it's run by a few people. It's a network. And we all watch each other's back. He told me that. I'll never forget standing there with him. He made an impression on me. Now, did I stop? No, but they did things to me and our business and family that hurt pretty bad. So we've been through that. When you read if you go online and see the books of Arabian to Buy Justice, you're going to wonder why none of the judges, none of the people in the book, just like this case, came against us for defamation, came against us for anything else. Because, like you're saying, that happened to the individuals you were mentioning, because all the evidence is there. But these guys get around that. They don't care. They know they're guilty of it. And if they bring a suit against you for defamation, they also realize that all of that's going to come out. So when you go to the website and you see the drop-down pictures of the governor and the others, the governor and the attorney general have a duty that when something like that affects the public, they have to go out and fight it because they're holding a position that requires it. Mr. Hodges, they have not said a word. When you read and see their pictures, I got wanted posters on the attorney general and governor for what they've done. They're circulating. Okay, this has been going on for 2 years. They can't stop it because it's all true. And they don't want to go drag it into court because they got no defense. So what you're saying is exactly what we run up against, the corruption. So
Yeah, I'll share another quick story with you. Frances Barwood, former Phoenix City Councilwoman, now her and her Mike have left the area. She was friends with my good friend Vance Davis, who was ex-NSA, and then Bill Pollack, who was ex-Air Force Intel. And we had dinner at their house. We had some joint political interests. When she was on the city council, there was the defense building built downtown. It's a federal building, and it's east of downtown. It's west of downtown, about a mile or two west of the arenas. Here's what's really interesting about that: that building is only about 5% occupied, and it's got all the NSA gadgets. I know because I've walked the grounds with my NSA friend, and he pointed it all out to me. Here's the deal: they came in and did executive session with the Phoenix City Council. And they demanded $30 million of payment. Now, this is over 30 years ago. And they demanded $30 million of payment to build this. And they offered kickbacks to people to go along with this. And she didn't play ball, and she raised questions in the media. Shortly thereafter, there was the Phoenix Lights. And all she did at the city council meeting is, I'm getting deluged with calls from my constituents. What was in the sky that night? And people started, like the governor Symington, he dressed up in a clown alien suit to make fun of her. And they started really besmirching her. And it wasn't because of the alien question. She didn't even raise the question of aliens. She just said, what was that in the sky? And because of her position on the defense, and she couldn't be bribed about that defense building, the federal building, they destroyed her political career.
Lord have
I mean,
mercy.
this is how far-reaching they go.
No, they go far. And
No, I'm
they
just telling you
won't
that,
let
I knew I came from Colorado, and I was friends with a family that was a mayor, and then the governor, and so forth. And I was aware that some things were going on, but and I knew a lot on the inside, but it ain't nothing like Arizona. In fact, when I was investigating voter fraud back in 2021, I got comments from people like in Pennsylvania, Fulton County, Georgia. Dave, you guys need to stop exporting your voter fraud strategies to us because then we pick them up and use them. And I heard that repeatedly.
Well, you do know, I know you know this, you've been around like I have for a while. The Arizona Bar Association needs to add something to that. It should be the Arizona Bar Association in conjunction with the cartel.
That's right. No, you're right. And
I'm just telling you a fact.
they have
They
huge
got.
real estate, they launder money through real estate scams. And they're using
Yeah.
top court, like these private equity firms that come in and overpay for houses.
Right.
And they're overpaying as they're laundering cartel money.
That's what they're doing.
I
Well, you
just,
know, I got to tell you this real quick.
we got about 30 seconds.
Okay. I will just tell you this. We appreciate anything you can do. We appreciate being on the show. So anything you can do to help us to get the kids. But I want to make it clear that there's many families that are going through this similar deliberate indifference that's being showered on everybody. This is a deliberate indifference because, you know, judges are making legislation from the bench. We have proof of that.
I know
So, and
that.
you do
I
too.
know.
So, you know, we appreciate you. Our hearts go out to all those that are suffering through this, and we know that we want to make it better for those coming after us. So we appreciate you and thank you
Our
so
heart
much.
goes out to you too. And just very quickly, I would recommend you follow up in those areas that I covered earlier and let me know what's going on, okay? And
I'll keep you
I want to
informed.
be kept abreast of what's happening here. Our guest has been Reverend John Stone with this tragic story, but it's just all too familiar to yours truly. And I'm sorry he's going through it, ladies and gentlemen. If we don't make a stand collectively, this is going to affect every family eventually. John, thanks so much for joining us. Good to talk to you.
Thank you, brother. God
Thank you.
bless.